Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast of Connecting Faith. Programs like this are made possible through the financial support of listeners like you. You can find out more or make a gift by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab on the homepage. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Well, welcome to Connecting Faith. So good to have you tuned in. I'm Neil Stavem. Looking forward to a great hour ahead. We're going to talk a little bit about getting out of debt, debt-proof living, and we'll welcome in our guest in just a moment. I want to tell you, though, about a great event coming up this weekend. Susie Larson, Live the Promise, will be spending some time doing her program live at the Lifeway Christian Store for those in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. It's the Lifeway Christian Store in Maple Grove. And Julie Nelson from Care 11 TV, the local NBC affiliate in Minneapolis-St. Paul, will be there as well. So the two will be interviewing each other and just sharing a bit about their faith journey and story and time of encouragement and inspiration and a few good laughs as well. So a couple of my favorite people, Julie Nelson and Susie Larson at Lifeway Christian Store at 1 o'clock on this Saturday, the 27th. Of course, you'll be able to hear it live all across the Faith Radio Network. But if you're in the area, I'd love to have you stop by and just say hello to Julie and Susie. And by the way, Susie's talking with Margaret Feinberg this afternoon, Pursuing God's Love. Great new work from Margaret Feinberg. And looking forward to hearing that at 3 today. But let's talk about today. Speaking of favorite ladies, I always appreciate Mary Hunt and have read her columns regularly. She just passed the 2,000 mark on the syndicated newspaper columns. Mary started Debt-Proof Living. It was formerly Cheapskate Monthly, and we're going to connect on that in the hours ahead here and invite you to join with us. Has written, well, it's now in, what is it, about 15, 18 years, something like that, Mary?
Well, in January, it's going to be 20 years.
Wow, congratulations. That's a great opportunity. She's written a number of books, Debt-Proof Living, Live Your Life for Half the Price. There's several others. I know there's a dozen or so, and all sorts of wonderful resources online at debtproofliving.com, and we'll talk about that. But, Mary, let's maybe just want to hear a little bit about your story, too. I always think that's kind of valuable for those that maybe haven't heard you on the air with us before. But, I mean, you were in a deep hole at one time.
Boy, I sure was. You know, I could go back way to my childhood and bring you up to date for how I think all of that happened. But suffice it to say that when I left home to go to college, I figured that I'd arrived, that I wanted to go out. I wanted to have everything I wanted. I grew up kind of what I thought was horribly poor. I think my parents were just frugal, but my perception was that it was a pitiful way to live. And I wanted to have a wonderful life, and I got away to school, and I got a checking account, and I found that if I pulled strings just exactly right, I could have things now and pay for them later. I could write a check for something today and then get my campus paycheck maybe tomorrow or the next day, get it into the bank in time. Of course, things have changed now. It's not quite you don't have that much float time, but, you know, it still was something horrible that started to grow inside of me. And it said this: as long as I could get away with it, I could have things now and pay for them later. Well, that's not a new concept. I mean, that is something that the consumer credit industry has been teaching us for, what, 40, 50 years, something like that, since the day that they first, you know, we welcomed something called Diners Club. That was the very first charge card that allowed people to be able to have things now and pay for them later. And, you know, I went crazy. I went completely crazy. Not so much during college, because I couldn't get a credit card. When I was in school, that was not allowed for college students. But I got married shortly after I graduated from college. And my husband, you know, I married a banker. Things should have been absolutely wonderful. But, of course, I had already started this whole way of life of always wanting more and more and more and figuring I could pay for it later, which made me a perfect candidate for the credit card industry. And, you know, I got one card, and it was wonderful. Got two, it was even better. Four was, oh, my, that was fabulous. And I soon was down that path. Now, my husband and I were able to make the full payment every single month on those cards for a while. you know, you can't do that forever if your spending keeps outdoing your income. And pretty soon, you know, I started relying on that magical thing called the minimum monthly payment, thinking that that was just a gift from God. Oh, my goodness, I can have all these things now, pay for them later. I mean, a new outfit wasn't really $200. It was just, what, $10, $12 a month. That seemed so affordable, so wonderful, and life was grand. You know, it took me 12 years to all but destroy our lives because I couldn't stop. You know, I kept getting more and more cards because, to me, we were never really, really overdrawn. We were just under deposit. It was always a matter of needing more money. I never saw myself as an overspender, that I had a problem here. To me, it was my rotten luck. It was the terrible economy. You know, that's always the excuse. For as many years as I can remember, it seems like we've always blamed the bad economy. I blamed my husband's job, that he was underpaid, that they didn't pay him well enough, that we needed to get extra jobs, that we needed additional income. All the while, we're raising a family, we're buying a home. And I'll tell you, our lives are completely out of control. And, you know, pretty soon you run out of credit. You know, it comes a point when you just can't get any more. And I convinced my husband to leave the bank, to leave that horrible job, and that we should go into self-employment. Because, of course, you know, in my infinite wisdom, I realized that that was the only way we'd ever have enough money for me to be happy. And my husband's sweet man that he is, you know, he wanted me to be happy. And so he agreed, and that was how that last final plunge into the sea of debt. You know, humanly speaking, there was no way out. Neither one of us had jobs. We lost that business that we started after only 4 months, and with it took all of our hopes and dreams. And it was a pathetic time. Now, this was a long time ago, Neil. This was back in 1982. Hmm. You know, the economy was rotten. Isn't it funny how we go through these cycles? When the economy is rotten, we blame it. When the economy is great, well, we blame more and more debt because we've got to have more and more things we think we can't afford. And I came to the end of myself. There was nowhere to look but up, and I realized it wasn't my husband. It wasn't the economy. It wasn't all those horrible things I thought. It was me. I was greedy. I was a manipulative. I was deceitful. I had done some terrible things. I had run up so much debt, I'd nearly ruined our lives. Our home was ready to go into foreclosure, and that was something that was unheard of. No one lost their homes through foreclosure. I only knew about that process because I knew something about the real estate industry. But things were really, really, really bad for us. And I have to tell you that I fell on my face before the Lord. I had to confess what had I done to myself, to my family, to my husband. I was mortified when I realized what I had done. It was just heartbreaking. You know, people ask me, well, why didn't you just file for bankruptcy? Wow. Honestly, I never thought of it. Neither one of us did. I guess it was so shameful. It was so embarrassing that this never was an option for us. Instead, I made the Lord a new promise that I would do whatever it took to get out of debt. I had no strings attached. I had no conditions. I told him flat out, I will do anything. Boy, that is a powerful promise to make to the Lord, the God of the universe, that you will do anything. And I think God saw that as a perfect opportunity for me to learn some very hard lessons. And learn them I did, but I got to tell you something. That journey back was joyful. It was amazing. For what I learned, what God taught me, what I learned about living below your means. Nobody dropped $100,000 on our front porch and said, here, now go pay it off, and you can start over. Didn't happen that way. I think that would have been too easy. I had to learn those very, very difficult lessons. But God provided the opportunities. Never worked so hard in my life. And during a very long 10-year period from 1982 to 1992, Harold and I worked our way out of debt silently. No one knew, not our family, friends, nobody. We were so ashamed. But you know what? As we put God first, because we started giving back to the Lord, whether we had debt or not, and I think that is so key, that is so important, that you not wait until you get out of debt to start saving or to start giving back to God. No, you have to do it now, because those are the two things that made all the difference. It was saving something for the future, giving back to God, were the things that quieted my insatiable desires. They made me willing to live frugally. They made me willing to see how far I could stretch a dollar, how far we could make that income go, how much we could save, how low we could get our electricity bill, how few times we could go to the grocery store in a month. All of those things on top of each other started creating something that we found to be very, very much a lot of fun, because it turned out to be so successful for us. And after 10 years, in 1992, we weren't quite out of debt yet, but it was you know, just through circumstances and realizing that I had gained this amazing, I would call it passion, for personal finance, of all things. Me, the person who couldn't stop spending, who had run up more than $100,000 in unsecured credit card debt, now found this to be the joyful thing. And in 10 years, we paid back $88,000 of those dollars, including the interest and the principal and the penalties and the fees and all of that. We didn't ask for one dollar of settlement or any kind of negotiation at all. We paid it back, but we weren't quite there. And it was in 1992 that I got this wild hair idea to write a newsletter to try and raise the rest of the money it would require to get us out of debt. And that's where Cheapskate Monthly was born. That's how it happened. And I'll tell you something, Neil, when you put an idea, I'm sure it was from the Lord, but, you know, put your ideas, your dreams, and your hopes into the hands of the Lord, and it's amazing what can happen. And God has used that. And if you're doing your math now, you'll see that come January of 2012, we will celebrate 20 years since that day that we started Cheapskate Monthly. And, yes, we did get out of debt. I suppose I should have shut the whole thing down, because I had no intention to keep going, but, you know, God had another idea in mind. And as you mentioned in the intro, I have written a few books, and I have a special announcement. No one knows this. I'm going to let your audience be the first to know, if they care to know, let you know. In January of 2012, my 19th book will be coming out. It's written. It's on its way to the printers right now. I'm so excited about it. I think it's the best ever. And the title is The 7 Money Rules for Life. Everything that I've learned in 20 years of helping people, what they've accomplished, what others have done, what we've done here, put it all into 7 simple money rules for the new economy, for the new decade ahead, for whatever God has for us.
Well, Mary, I'm glad that you shared your story, because I think it's just it's encouraging for us to know that there's a way out. It also reminds us that we're talking with someone who has been there before, and so the advice that we'll share here in the moments ahead will be practical and useful and time-tested. And so I want to just invite you to give us a call at 877-93-FAITH. That's the phone number, 877-933-2484. We're talking with Mary Hunt from Debt Proof Living, and in just a moment, we're going to start talking a little bit about some of the best tips that she's received in those some 2,000 columns over these years of writing and insights, and we'll review some of those important money rules for life. And we'd love to just take your calls to field your questions, the issues that you might be facing with today, and offer some encouragement along the way with Mary Hunt here on Connecting Faith. 877-933-2484. You're welcome to start queuing up now, and we'll continue in just a minute. Past the hour, you're listening to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem, and we're connecting again with Mary Hunt, who's authored working on book number 19. Is that what it was?
Yes.
19.
Yes,
all right.
That's so exciting.
Wow, that's great. And I regularly read her column in my local paper. She's had some 2,000 columns now across the country over the years, syndicated newspaper columns, and has the great resources on the website, deathproofliving.com. And Mary, I just, you know, before we jump in and talk about some of those tips that you've received, because I know that that's one of the great things about the columns, you get advice from people on how they've saved some money. But I'm wondering, you know, what do you say to someone who said, you know, Mary, I can't cut anymore. What can I do?
Mm-hmm. I say you have to cut some more, and I bet I can help you do that. You know, I think that most of us, unless we have absolutely no income at all, I know people who are struggling to survive on perhaps an unemployment check or disability check are truly facing some serious situations, and especially if they've gotten themselves deeply in debt, you know, maybe a mortgage that they should never have taken out because they were in it over their heads to start with. And now, but by and large, most of the time, I think that if we really, really get serious, someplace between $1 and $10 million is a place where you are living below your means. And I just love to help people to be able to find what that is.
So is it a matter of just a little bit here and there? Is that, I mean, the slow and steady wins the race kind of thing?
Sometimes for some situations. But, you know, there are other situations that are just flat out desperate. And we have to call it what it is. It's a desperate situation. You know, for some people, they need to move. They need to move to either a cheaper area or they need to move in with family. They need to do something desperate. They need to get rid of that second car and rely on, you know, public transportation or sharing a vehicle or getting a bicycle. I know these sound like austere, you know, solutions. But, folks, come on. I mean, we need to do what we need to do. And we need to sometimes put our pride away. We need to ask God to show us what he wants us to do. Because I can tell you something. God is in the miracle business. He still is the... He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, as my father used to tell me when I was little. He owns it all. And nothing has changed about that. The economy has not changed that. God can do immeasurably more than you can ever hope or think. But he needs for you to be willing and to perhaps go through some seasons of having to learn some very, very difficult lessons. So, you know, I don't think that we should stand and say, well, I won't do this. I'll do everything. But no, you don't touch. No, you've got to say to the Lord, you've got to say, I will do anything to live below my means, to take care of my family on the resources that you have seen fit to give me, what you know you can trust me with. Because every day is a test and a trust. What you have to live on is what God knows he can trust you with. I know that's a brutal, brutal words, but it's the honest truth. Have you been faithful? Have you been giving back even when you don't see where you're going to be able to live on less, live on 90% of your income while giving back 10%, the first 10% of the Lord? If he can't trust you with a little, do you think he's really going to be able to trust you with more? You've got to be able to pass the test every day. It's a test and a trust.
Well, speaking of trust, I was just mentioned before the show here, I just read this morning Psalm 34, and words just kind of jumped out at me, I guess, thinking about our program today. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. And verse 10 says, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. You know, I had to admit, do I really believe that day in and day out? That there's, you know, and maybe it's just because our understanding of what a good thing is has gotten so confused.
I think you're absolutely right, because I'm pretty sure that God is not referring to a new iPod or replacing your cell phone that dropped into the sink this morning and now it's busted and you feel like that's an absolute need. Maybe it's not. I think that the closer we can get to the Lord, the more aware we are of what really is a good thing. And Neil, I can't help but recall my grandmother. Now, she's been gone for some time, but when I was young, a teenager, she lived through the Depression, and she used to tell me, and I thought it was quite remarkable but I think so even more now. She told me that of all the people that she and her family knew where she lived in North Dakota, through the Depression, through horrible times, I mean, there were horrible things and hardships, she said that she and her family did not know of one person who didn't have a job. She said there was not one person in our little church who did not have a job. She said God provided. He took care of us because we trusted in him. So we should not be fearful of this. You know what? God is so much bigger than a recession, than a depression, than anything we could possibly imagine. What's lacking is our faith, and I think that this is a season when we're going to be able to grow our faith and just experience God's grace in new and amazing ways. Already, I'm starting to keep records of the amazing stories that I'm hearing from my readers, from friends that I'm in contact with colleagues, stories of people who are going through what appear to be deep financial situations, and how God is providing. And that is the most exciting thing. We need to bathe ourselves in these stories and these promises, how God keeps his word. Maybe today our conversation here is going to provide that spark of faith and trust for people who are listening, who feel like they're discouraged right now. But this is to be encouraging to people. How wonderful to know that we have something that those who do not name the name of Christ, that they don't have that hope. They don't have that faith and that grace in their lives, knowing that God is going to bless them so that they can help others. I mean, that's, I believe, why we're blessed. God doesn't bless us so that we can build ourselves big, beautiful homes and add another car to the fleet and upgrade all the televisions and get a new lake house. No. I think that God wants to bless us so that we can minister to others.
We want to invite you to join with us in the conversation, and maybe you've been encouraged just by what you've heard so far. You still have some questions. Say, I need some specific helps. I need a few of those basic rules reviewed. You can join our conversation at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. And Mary Hunt is joining us today. You read her perhaps regularly in the column, Everyday Cheapskate. Or you've read some of her books, now numbering 19, but whether it's Debt Proof Living, The Complete Guide to Living Financially Free, or Financially Confident Woman, or Live Your Life at Half for Half the Price, whatever it might be, we're taking your calls today at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. And Mary, you mentioned that hearing stories from listeners and people that you talk to. Let's talk about some of the tips that you've got. We'll just kind of jump in. We've got a break coming up in a couple minutes, but you get tips on a variety of things, and I'm just curious to know what you have heard or read recently that has been kind of caught your attention and maybe been most helpful.
I think the thing that right now, just because, you know, it seems like the tips that I hear most recently are the ones that are emblazoned on my mind, and I just love so much. But I was speaking with this tip came from one of the heads of Edmunds Automotive. I don't know if you're familiar with that
Sure.
website and that organization. Fine, wonderful people. I'll tell you what, they know their stuff. And Phil Reed, who is one of the executives there and actually does most of the testing of all these things, he told me, Mary, if people will just do one thing, he says, I can improve their gas mileage by 30%. Well, that got my attention, 30%. I mean, that would take us down to prices that were 5-10 years ago, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I'm not certain about that, but if we could drop 30% off a few, here it is. Two words, calm down. I go, oh, come on, Phil, what do you mean? No, he said, really, truly, and he went into a long explanation for just the way you drive, your attitude, how you're thinking, how you take off from a stop sign, how soon you brake when you see a red light. Some people wait until the last second, hoping it'll turn green. They drive aggressively. They change lanes often. Just think in your mind the difference between a highly aggressive driver and one who is very, very calm. Now, I don't mean in such a way that you're becoming a hazard on the road where you're going 30 miles an hour on the on-ramp of the freeway. You've got to drive safely, but you keep your speed down. You drive as if there is a raw egg under the gas pedal of your car, and you dare not break that thing. And so you're very, very gentle the way that you operate that car. He told me, if you will do that, and if you convince all drivers of that car, husband, wife, to kids, whoever's driving it, just change the way you drive. He said, you will reduce your fuel cost by 30%. Wow. That's a tip that everybody listening right now should take to heart. I just saved you a ton of money.
We just went to the gas station a couple times for both our cars this weekend. My wife and I were just talking about that. That was a big chunk that went out just like that. So 30% would make a big difference.
It sure would. I mean, just think about it. If you're paying $3 a gallon, that would save $1 per gallon. Yeah. I mean, that's how much farther your gas would go. Maybe you'd only have to fill up every other week or twice a month. That would be awesome.
Mary Hunt is my guest, and she is editor of Debtproof Living and has written a number of books. You can find out more on the website, debtproofliving.com. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk more about some of the favorite tips she's received, whether it's shopping or cleaning or cooking or just driving or any of those things. We want to provide some practical help today and invite you to join the conversation. Maybe you have a specific question about getting out of debt or maybe loaning money to family members, whatever it might be. You can call us at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. We'll continue in 2 minutes. Thirty-two past the hour, and practical help today here on Connecting Faith. We really are connecting faith to life, applying biblical principles to daily life, and we're doing that as it relates to the resources that we have been entrusted with. God owns it all. That's the fundamental principle, but how do we stretch out those dollars, go as far as we can? Mary Hunt has been giving us wise advice for now almost 20 years from Debtproof Living, and has written a number of books, including Debtproof Living, and a new one coming out called The 7 Money Rules for Life. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But we want to take your calls at 877-933-2484 and talk about some of those practical tips, ways that we can be better stewards. Mary, one of our listeners didn't want to be on the air, but just said, what do you do when you're overwhelmed by student loans? And now, I'm sure it wasn't quite so serious 20 years ago, but it's a major problem today. What do you say?
It is a horrible problem. First of all, I wish these people would have talked to me before they took them out, because there are some very specific guidelines I could have helped them with. But once you have those student loans, I'll tell you, Neil, they are like a lead balloon that you just carry around with you. I recommend that people realize that you're going to have to pay them off as fast as you can. You're going to have to bite the bullet. You're going to have to take extra jobs. You know, the Obama administration has instituted some new forgiveness guidelines, but I don't want to get anybody too excited about this. They're pretty stringent. You have to have paid on time for something like, don't quote me here, I'm just going off the top of my head, something like 25 years. And you have to show that you've paid 15% of your gross income each year towards your debt. And after that, the rest is forgiven. But that doesn't help people for right now. I suggest that you go to a website called finaid.org. That's fin, like in financial, fin, and then aid.org. On that site, there is a page called Loan Forgiveness. And it talks about all of the ways that you can get part of your debt forgiven by the job choices that you take. If you're willing to take some jobs in the inner city, there are some teaching positions that are, I wouldn't say they're combat pay, but they're not cushy jobs. They're in some of the areas of the country where if you're willing to do this, you can get some of your debt forgiven. There are some public service jobs like police, some medical positions, that if you will take these jobs, there are some loan forgiveness programs. Now, as I say, you're not going to get it all taken care of, but there are some things that you can do, perhaps qualify. Go there, take a look. Beyond that, I say you're just going to have to bite the bullet. I know it's not nice. I know it's not the thing you want. Perhaps I'm speaking right now to some women who have decided they don't want to become a nurse. They want to stay home and be a stay-at-home mom. They've got this huge amount of student debt. You know, maybe that is not an option for you right now. You need to get in there, get those loans paid, especially if they're private loans. Remember this, private student loans have variable interest rates, and they're going to do nothing but go up. You need to get them paid off sooner than later.
And you really, I think almost anybody who deals with finances and debts talk about getting those debts paid, those loans, as quickly as possible, right? I mean, the rapid payment of debts, no matter what size they might be, right?
That's right, because it's the interest that keeps piling up that's going to keep you in debt forever. And if you have consolidated your loans to a 30-year payback, that doesn't mean you have to wait that long. You can pay them off sooner. There's no prepayment penalty, and I would recommend that you do that. Put off buying a home. Put off, the new cars. You knew how to be a starving student while you were going to school. You need to continue that way of life, and at least until those loans are paid off.
Mary, I'm going to take a call from Gloria in a moment, but I'm interested to know from you, when you were in debt and struggling, what encouraged you? Was there some advice or a friend? And then, so out of that, what can we do to encourage others that are in this similar situations?
Well, one thing I did was absolutely wrong, and I regret it now, but I was real quiet about it. My husband and I were the only ones who knew. We were so ashamed and embarrassed, and we kind of, you know, kept up a happy face so that no one would find out. If I could do it over again, I would have sought out help. There is so much help available, more now than there was then. But you also have to be very, very careful because there's some really bad, scary scam artists out there who are doing everything they can to fleece people. So while we're on the subject, let me just give you a quick website. There's only one site that I recommend people go to if they are having trouble with their debt, if they are over their heads in debt. It is an organization, nonprofit, called the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, and the acronym for the website is nfcc.org. Just go there. There are prompts that will help you find a certified credit counselor that I tell you you can trust, who lives very close to you, and you can, in fact, you can even get help immediately on their website. They won't be able to wipe out your debt, but they're going to be able to set up a payment plan that you can handle. Now, that's important. They're going to help you with that payment plan. That might mean getting some of the interest rates reduced. That's a good thing. Getting some of the penalties waived. That's a wonderful thing. And set up a program. Now, you might be on a 3 or 5 year plan, but guess what? That's so much better than the plan you're on now. 5 years from now, you're going to be 5 years older anyway. You might as well go ahead and get out of debt.
Oh, man. Good advice from Mary Hunt. Let's take a call from Gloria, listening in Faith 1190 in Madison. And Gloria has a good question as it relates to just dealing with debt. Gloria, you're on with Mary Hunt. Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you so much for your time and information. I appreciate it. What came to mind was when you're dealing with trying to get out of debt, how you deal with the behaviors referring to the emotional, psychological, and spiritual part of it. Because that's the issue that I'm having, and I know for a fact that for me, when I've been doing a lot of changes in my life, and I see how God has transformed my life in so many ways, and I know this is the one that's like always in my face, and it's the reminder that there's something behind it. And I appreciate also the question before about student loans. I just started graduate school, and my interest is to become a licensed counselor. And I know that I've worked really hard to get to this point in my life, and I know that I need to continue to take care of myself, referring to my debt and life in general. And again, it comes back to the spiritual battle and the psychological part of it, and how it's just a struggle. And as I was listening to your story, it really brought up a lot of, I felt better. You know, I appreciate what you said.
Good. Let me ask you something.
You know how it is, how to deal with you.
Yeah, I sure do.
And, yes.
And I want to help you with that. Let me ask you, though, you have current student debt, or you're looking at debt in the future?
No, I actually have it right now. Yes, I do. And I had to figure out a way how to pay for my first year. And I understand when you get to graduate school, it's very different than undergrad. I've been in school now for 13 and a half years. I finally finished my undergrad. And the work that I want to do, and I know that I that's part of my purpose of my own personal life, that I've done things. I know for a fact that I need to get a master's degree in order to.
You're dealing with some debt right now, and then more perhaps coming, right?
Having to sign those papers, I really felt bad, and I'm thinking I don't want to do this anymore. But I also know that I want to finish graduate school to get.
Mary, go ahead. What's
well,
your thoughts?
Well, you know, boy, this is going to be really hard for me to say, but I can't imagine you're creating more and more debt when you're carrying this horrible debt already. You need to get some wise counsel about adding to that debt. If you've been running up debt for 13 years, student debt, at the very least, you need to be paying the interest payment. Are you paying anything on it yet?
Haven't. No.
Okay. All right.
what you need to know is, though, even though you're in school and you don't have to be making payments, the interest is accruing every single month. Those loans are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I don't know if you understand. Yeah, you understand what snow does. Yeah. You know what a snowball does? It turns into an avalanche. And you are shooting yourself in the foot right now. To be adding to this debt is giving me, I'm breaking out in a rash. I'm worried. I'm very, very concerned for you to be adding to the debt. If there's any way that you can start paying down, at least paying the interest every month so that you are not adding to it. As for the emotional drain of what this can mean when you're so deeply in debt, working your way out, feeling that, oh, poor me, I can't have a new car. You know, I wish I had this. My kids are suffering so at Christmas and all. You know what? I've got one word that will put all of that into perspective. It's called gratitude. I think that what God wants from us is our hearts of gratitude. He wants us to live in gratefulness to Him for what He has given to us, all that He has given to us. And, you know, when you sit back and think about it, if you woke up today and you were able to sit up and take nourishment, you've got something to be grateful for. And if you live in this country where we do enjoy freedoms and we enjoy such wonderful beauty and all of the things that God has bestowed upon us, for us to live in gratitude every day is the way to knock that dark cloud of sadness from our lives. And I can tell you from my own experience that that is what God wants from us. He wants our gratitude. And as for your situation, you know, Gloria, I don't know all the details, but I do know something. And I believe it more than anything in the whole world. Where God guides, God provides. God wants you to go to graduate school. He has got a wonderful plan. You know, I wonder if you've given Him an opportunity to provide for you. I don't want to make any kind of judgments at all. I would never want to do that. But I just want to point out that you are on a slippery slope if you're adding to this amount of student debt. I don't know if you've figured out what kind of payment plan you'll be on when you get out of school. But you might want to check that out. There are calculators on different websites that you can go to that will help you to be able to figure out what you'll be looking at. Now is the time when you might be able to correct your course, and I would really like you just to consider, you know, taking a look at that.
Gloria, let me just pray for you before you go. Lord, we ask that you would provide for Gloria, and you would provide wisdom as she needs to know just which road to take and how to proceed, and that you would give her an overflowing heart of gratitude, as all of us need that, to just recognize your blessing in our life and to just be finding the discipline, the strength with your help to do what needs to be done. Lord, we ask that in Jesus' name. Gloria, thank you for calling, and we do pray that there are wise advice and counsel that you can receive in the days to come. And you know, it is hard, Mary, though, isn't it, when you're, I mean, as she talked about, that sort of psychological side, and it's just, it is a cloud. It's a thick cloud, and is gratitude enough to sort of break us out of that?
You know, I think it is. I think it comes straight from God's word, because what happens is when he realizes that we are grateful, then he knows he can trust us. He can trust us with more resources. He knows that we will be honorable to him and that we will be worthy stewards of what he has for us to take care of. I mean, look at myself. I mean, I'm the most unlikely person that God would have ever chosen to bless in ways that he has. But you know what? It was an if-then kind of thing, and I think God really teaches that in his word. If you will trust me, if you will obey me, then I will bless you. And I have seen that over and over and over. And if Gloria's still listening, I hope that I'd like to say one more thing, is that in preparation for this new book, The 7 Money Rules for Life, I really went to God's word. I needed to find out, what does God really say about debt? I had made some false assumptions in the past. Do you know, there is no nothing in the Bible that prohibits borrowing money. I can't find where it is a sin, but I do find some really strong guidelines. I find that it's better that you not borrow, but if you must borrow, you are to get out of debt as quickly as possible. God just reiterates that throughout his word. The reason that I know he does not restrict borrowing is that we can find passages where people who he has blessed so that they will lend to others, He honors that. So that would be the duplicitous. If God would say on the one hand, you are not to borrow money, but then he were to bless people who were lenders. And so there are some guidelines. You're not to borrow more than you know you can repay. That means that you've got that money in reserve, or in the case of student loans, that you know the field that you're going to go into. You know that you'll be able to pass that exam with some reasonable assurance. You know that you'll be welcomed into that industry. And I would say that a good guideline is that you borrow no more total over your whole career as a student than is the first year salary for that entry-level job. That means that if you're going to become a second-grade school teacher, and where you're going to be a school teacher, that beginning salary is, say, $42,000 a year. That's it. If it's $32,000, that's it. If it's $24,000 or $29,000, whatever it is, your total student debt for your entire career should not exceed that. Now, that's a safety net. We can pretty much point to statistics that you'll be able to repay that debt in 3 years if you keep it to that manageable amount of money that you have borrowed. And you are making the interest payments while you're still in school, which they're not huge. So on $5,000, it's about $16 a month. Not that great amount, but it's enough that keeps you from starting that snowball turning into an avalanche.
In just a moment, we're going to continue with Mary Hunt, and I want to talk a little bit about loaning money to family and friends. We're talking about lending. All right, we'll talk about helping family and friends in need, get her perspective on that, and talk a little bit more about some of those money rules for life. And we'll take your calls as well at 877-933-2484. It's 877-933-2484. Mary Hunt is my guest from Debt Proof Living, and we'll continue Connecting Faith in a minute. We're coming up to 10 before the hour. I so appreciate Mary Hunt and her wise counsel, and I've so appreciated the columns over the years and the book, Debt Proof Living. That's one of her first and the best, and now 19 books later. Latest called The 7 Money Rules for Life. We'll talk about that's coming out here right after the first of the year. But, Mary, we're talking about being generous, getting out of debt, but you mentioned lending and loaning, that you know God blesses us so we can be a blessing to others. How about lending to family and friends?
You know, I think that there is a place for that, but I think that there are some guidelines. As the lender, you need to be, especially in a family situation, never lend money you cannot afford to give away as a gift. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to set up a payment plan for that person to repay it. But I'll tell you something. Things can go sideways, and it can really, really blow up family relationships. When parents are lending to their perhaps adult children who are quite young, I would require collateral. You know, maybe they're going to have to haul that high-definition television over to your house where you're going to keep it until that loan is repaid. I mean, there has to be guidelines set up. And I would never lend more. 3 years is kind of a benchmark for me. I think that's the absolute outside. There needs to be a payment plan. But in the back of your mind, you need to know, if I don't get this money repaid, I will consider it a gift. That is so important. I will tell you one thing that I would caution people against is co-signing on a loan. Where parents co-sign on a home mortgage, or co-sign on a car loan, or co-sign on even student loans, I would really caution against that. The Bible does seem to forbid that. God says not to do that. That is a very, very foolish thing to do. Because here's the deal. If you co-sign on that, you become equally liable. And if you're not able to pay that, boy, there's going to be some fireworks here if your family member defaults on that loan. So, I would never co-sign. I would caution against that. But as for lending, I would say there is a place. It should be very, very much a cautionary kind of thing. The payment plan should be something that the borrower can afford. But then I think that the lender needs to hold that borrower to it in a kind and loving way, but in a firm way, requiring that debt be repaid. Even if a parent says, oh, I don't need the money, you can just have it, maybe that's not the best thing for your adult child. Maybe they need to grow up and to get the responsibility of repaying that debt. That will give them a lot of, you know, self-esteem. They will feel good about themselves that they were able to accomplish that in a decent and reasoned way.
You know, we use the word debt-proof living a lot here. I'm wondering if those, you know, words can actually go together in one sentence these days. But I'm wondering if can you review for us maybe a simple plan for getting out of debt? I mean, you talk about having a plan is so much better than just going along the way we are. But what does that plan look like?
I'm so glad you asked. We call it the Rapid Debt Repayment Plan. It's a really, really big deal around here at Debt Proof Living. And you can't believe how many thousands of people have used this plan to get themselves out of debt. And I created this. This is for unsecured debts. This is your credit cards, your student loans, all of the, not your mortgage, not your car loan, but this is for your unsecured loans. Most of them are credit cards. The first rule of the RDRP, that's what we call it, is that you have to stop adding to that debt unless you're willing to stop in your tracks. No more using those credit cards if you can't pay them off. No more student debt if you can't keep up with what you've already got. You've got to stop, or else I can't help you. No one can. But once you're willing to do that, now we've got something you can work with, even if it's a great deal of debt. Because the RDRP is based upon your current minimum monthly payments. See, a lot of people say you'll never get out of debt unless you pay more than those payments every month. But no, I can show you how to do it. What we're going to do is we're going to look at your minimum payments, what they are right now, and we're going to fix them at that rate. Whatever it is right now, you're going to pay that same amount every month until you're out of debt. See, the credit industry wants you to pay less every month. They want your minimum payments to keep going down so that you'll probably get further into debt. But that's where we're going to change it. If you have a Visa card, you owe $2,000, and this month you have to pay $78. Well, guess what, buddy? You're going to pay $78 every month until that thing is gone. That's very, very strict. And I say if you can pay the $78 this month, you can do it next month and the next and so on. Now we're going to line up your debts in the order they will pay off, which is probably going to put the smallest one at the top. This is really important because it is an emotional deal. We want you to reach that first zero balance as soon as possible because that's going to shoot you to the moon. I mean, and that is such an accomplishment. And that is what kept me going. Once I realized that I could pay off one debt, I go, wow. And so what you're going to do once that first debt is paid off, you're going to take its payment and not, you know, run out and buy something new every month. No. You're going to apply that payment now to that second debt in line. You're going to increase its payment. It's going to be what it is every month plus the amount from the first debt. So now it's going to pay off fast. Once you reach that zero, then you're going to take the first two payments, add them to the third. All the while you're making those monthly minimum payments, you're keeping up with it. You're building your credit back. You're reducing the amounts you're in debt. I mean, it starts to go really fast. It's an avalanche in reverse. And that's what the Rapid Debt Repayment Plan is all about. And at our website, members of Debt Proof Living have access to our fabulous software on the website. It's all very, very secure. And we have the calculator and software that figure out the plan, show you exactly what day you're going to be debt-free. And it is so empowering. I'm telling you, Neil, people get very, very excited about getting out of debt. In fact, they look forward to making those payments just because they can visualize it. They can see how it's working. It's working in their favor. Finally, they're getting away from the stranglehold of debt.
You know, we only have a couple minutes left, Mary, but it's been encouraging. And even as we've talked about, you know, God's way of managing money, just leave us with maybe a final word of encouragement. Is there a verse or anything that you just kind of hang on to day in and day out?
Oh, wow. You know, I was just reading this morning, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Walk and not be weary and run and not faint. And I just thought about that. You know, people are going through difficult times right now. But these are exciting times as we're getting to see God's faithfulness living out in our lives. You know, it's easy to say, oh, I trust the Lord. My faith is so strong. When you've got a fabulous job and you know, there's another great job and the stock market's going up like crazy and homes are appreciating. how easy is it for us to lean on the Lord and ask Him to renew our faith each morning when we are going through difficult times? I think that there's something to be said for the joy that can come from that kind of living, and I think that's honoring to the Lord. So I would just encourage everyone listening, remember what my grandmother said. During the Depression, there was not one person in her church who did not have a job. God took care of them. And I see this happening now. God's taking care of me, my family, my debt-proof living family, and those of you who love to read the column every day in your newspaper, we'd love to have you come to debtproofliving.com, because if you love everyday cheapskate, you're going to love debt-proof living.
Well, Mary, thank you so much. I recommend it, debtproofliving.com. It's a great resource, and you'll find lots of encouragement along the way, because that's what we need probably more than anything. We'll start with gratitude, and we'll build on that encouragement, and we'll see a rapid response and taking care of those debts. So, Mary, thank you for encouraging us today. It's always good to visit with you, and we'll need to get back together again and go over a bunch of those tips that we didn't get to today.
Oh, wow. Let's do it soon, Neil.
All right. Mary Hunt is with us today. Check it out online at debtproofliving.com, and then look for her new book coming out here at the end of the year, The 7 Money Rules for Life. You can find all sorts of resources online at debtproofliving.com. And we'll put a link up, of course, on our show page as well at the Connecting Faith page. It's faithradionet.com. That's where to go, faithradionet.com.